just want to make an invitation. I want to share a picture. As I was praying for the service this morning, I saw a picture of someone pedaling a bike. They're pedaling really hard, but they're pedaling backwards. You know how good that works. It doesn't work so good at all. And I just feel like there are some of us here this morning. You are making a lot of effort, but you're not pedaling forwards. And you've almost become used to that sensation. You've almost become in that rhythm of pedaling backwards. I want to invite you, let's just close our eyes. Father, if that is from you, you know, hearts that are here, that are exhausted from pedaling backwards and making no progress, Lord. I pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, because all power and steadfast love belongs to the Lord. That you would come and empower there where that spinning is taking place. That you would come and change the direction of that movement. You would come and change the direction of that life so that there can be true progress. All this to the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for the word as well. Father, I thank you that you are here. You've been speaking to us. You've drawn us here. Every one of us here. And we are here to hear you. Lord Jesus, we want to see who you are. We want to see you clearly, see you rightly. Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes for that? We depend on you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear. So that we can turn and be healed. So that which is of you, Lord, that which shows us who you are, Lord Jesus, that would remain. That we would see you clearly and walk out of this place with clearer vision. And that would be all that remains. Amen. 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 So we're in Matthew 8 still. I don't know why I say that every week. But it's not like we finished the chapter yet. Let's first read the scripture for today. I'm going to read in Afrikaans first. Matthew 8, verse 18 to 22. En toe Jesus groot menigtes rondom hom sien, het hy bevel gegee om te vertrek na die oorkant. En 'n sekere skrifgeleerde het gekom en vir hom gesê, Meester, ek sal u volg waar u ook al mag gaan. En Jesus sê vir hom, Die jakkalse het gate en die voëls van die hemel neste, maar die seun van die mens het geen plek waar hy sy hoof kan neerlê nie. En 'n ander een van sy disippels het vir hom gesê, Here, laat my toe om eers te gaan en my vader te begrawe. Maar Jesus sê vir hom, Volg my, en laat die dooies sal eie dooies begrawe. We can go to the English. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go to the other side, and a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead. You know, sometimes we get to these scriptures and we're a little bit like, what's going on here? That's not really nice. That's not comfortable talk happening there. And we come with our perception of who Jesus should be, and we come to these moments and we're a little bit like, no, we need to reinterpret Jesus here to fit my narrative. I want to take us on a journey here this morning. We're going to look at two things about people's hearts that Jesus teaches us here in his word here. And I want to first start with a story. Who here remembers when you were a kid break time, it's play time, and so you'd all get to the sport field and now we're going to pick teams, right? Eh? Somebody picks first, and then the other guy picks second, and so it goes. And it's—I mean, I'm probably like scratching on some scabs here. Let me just be like, let me help you out here. I was a really small child. I was a very late bloomer as well. So I did not get picked first. Okay, so just everybody go, okay, we're in the right place here. Greg was also not picked first. And we have that experience in life. You know, it starts there at school, like being picked for the sport team, not being picked for the sport team. Being picked and being picked on these things that we see on outside merit, and we kind of bring that into our church experience. Right? And so in this chapter specifically, you'll recall that what Jesus is doing, he's doing this practical illustration in a big way of who are the poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit that he comes for? And he's taken us, we've gone on this journey of seeing how he comes to the leper, to the Gentile, to Peter's mother-in-law. And it feels good, right? It feels good. And there's like this breakout of revival that takes place. And we kind of identify with the Aflaak Fulke, and all of us have that thing. And so we like, yes, you know. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. Jesus, you know, in John 3:16, we know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might have eternal life and not perish. And so the gospel is for whoever believes in him. And that in him is actually a believes into him. So there's a exclusivity in the gospel that we need to look at again. Like, and so here in this moment, and what am I talking about? In this moment, if we look at the first verse, the verse 18, right? Here's Jesus in our world, successful ministry, right? Capernaum is being turned upside down. It's the right time to build a building and plant something. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, now these people are not confused. This is a crowd around Jesus, right? What does Jesus do? It's like, yes, I've got a lot of Facebook likes going on right now. Eh? A lot of Facebook likes. And we see this in the Gospels over and over. The moment there's some kind of crowd, what does Jesus do? He filters. It's tough. It's tough. He filters and he sees the crowd around, because Jesus did not come for Facebook followers. Right? Jesus did not come for, let's call it, a following. Jesus came to make disciples. Right? Jesus is the Son of God, eternal Son of God, comes to make disciples. Disciples of what? Of him as the Son. We are to be discipled in sonship. He's not looking for following. He's not looking for popularity. He's not looking for the crowd. So in this moment, Matthew, just to kind of check us, we get sort of like sucked into this thing that's happening in Capernaum, and it's all great. He shows us what Jesus does. You know, I love coffee. I drink a lot less of it nowadays. If you did not filter coffee, it would be really bad. Right? And here Jesus comes, and his filtering is for a good purpose. He's not like, okay, now I'm going to have my exclusive club. He's looking for disciples. That's the only invitation. Right? And so in this moment, he gives an order. Once again, we don't like the Jesus who orders and commands. You know, Jesus is my friend. He must talk to me kindly. But here Jesus comes and he gives an order. Gives a command. There's no confusion here. The translation, the guys weren't lazy in the translation. Jesus, in this moment, what does he do to filter? He gives a command. He says, do this. I am the king. Do this. And immediately shakes things around a little bit, doesn't it? Oh, Jesus is my savior. Jesus is my friend. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he Lord and savior? And that's where he comes into this moment. He gives an order, a very specific one. And I want you to remember this, because what we're going to look at, these two situations indicate a type of filtering that Jesus does for his purpose, right? But keep in mind This isn't out of the blue. Jesus doesn't just knock this scribe and this disciple out of the blue. He's like, I'm just having a bad day and I'm just going to like make your life hard. He's given a command. The Son of God, in authority, says, my order is we going across now. Ons gaan nou soontoe. Né? And then we get to this first response. And we read this, and I think maybe sometimes we read this as if we're the scribe, and we can't understand why Jesus is upset with this guy or like taking him on. Let me read it to you with a little bit of a different, intonation. And a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I see what you're doing. You got some good stuff going here, but you know what? These fishermen and these guys aren't going to cut it. Greatness acknowledges greatness. Teacher, I'm also a teacher. You need me. I'll follow you wherever you go. I see what you're doing. Kingdom's coming. Kingdom now. Yes. It's actually what it sounds like. It's actually what it sounds like. And you know what? In Matthew, the word teacher, every time Matthew uses the word teacher, I think except for one time, it's actually used negatively. The word teacher is not used positively. The guys that come to Jesus and call him teacher in the Gospel of Matthew are usually the Pharisees. And it's they're like, oh, we get these teachings, so we'll acknowledge something. It's sort of a respectful thing. But remember, Matthew's mission is to communicate to the Jews Jesus is the Messiah, not the rabbi. He's communicating to the Jews, he is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he is the one. He's the king. And so in this, you know, we have this greatness, acknowledges greatness. This guy gets Jesus' response. Right? And so remember, a scribe, this guy is coming to him. What does a scribe do? A scribe, he is copying the scriptures. He is also one who teaches the scriptures. So he's not a fisherman. And he comes in that attitude, teacher. I know the scriptures. You know the scriptures. I see you. We can partner here. You need me. And Jesus responds. He responds and he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. I don't want to go too deeply here, but when do foxes have holes for? To hide when it's cold. They know the season to dig a hole. Birds of the air have nests. Why do they have nests? In a certain season, they need to lay eggs so that there will be more birds of the air. So they can discern the times and the seasons. And he says, you, scribe, are supposed to know the scripture. And you call me teacher. You should know who I am. You should read in what's going on. You should see, acknowledge that I am not a teacher. And he uses the first time Jesus uses this title for himself. He says, the Son of Man. Here, let me help you out. This is not greatness meeting greatness. I am the Son of Man. And that should trigger something for the scribe. It's Daniel 7. Daniel 7. I don't have it up there. Daniel 7 is the moment. I've got it here. My slides are bigger than my card today. Daniel 7, verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. You should see this already, scribe. You should have seen this in my life. In everything that's happened in Capernaum now, is not signs of a teacher. It is the signs of the Son of Man. Not calling right now. And to him was given his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. He says, you are sorely mistaken. You are sorely mistaken. I am not a teacher. That's what Jesus is saying. I am the Son of Man. You should have seen the signs. Right? And he says to him one thing further. He says, that's my mission, right? If you understood what Daniel wrote, this is my mission. I am here to do something, to take back a kingdom, to take it, and I will receive it from my Father. I don't need you to give it to me. I'll receive it from my Father. He will give it to me because I will perform for it. And he says, oh, that's nice. Very useful. Thank you so much. He says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's bringing again Isaiah 53 in. He will be buried with a rich man's tomb. Jesus says, you don't get it. You think we're going to make this happen now, kingdom come now, we're going to build stuff, we're going to be like rule and reign right now. I'm not even going to be buried in my own tomb. Temporarily. Yeah? If you were reading the scripture, scribe, you would have known that I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. And I'm going to temporarily be buried in someone else's tomb. I'm not going to even lay my head there permanently. It's not even my tomb. It's a tough one, eh? It's quite gemakkelijk. It's quite stilly binnen. Here's the thing. I'm going to come back to this. But this is in this moment, remember what Jesus is doing. He's looking for disciples because he's here to make disciples. So he gives a command of what he's going to go and do, that they must follow him in. And this guy is confused about that, right? And he's confused about it, and Jesus is helping him, right? I'm going to come back to this. You notice how this story doesn't end, doesn't give us a conclusion. Some of the stories we know, when the rich young man comes to Jesus, it says, and he went away greatly saddened because he had great wealth. So just park that right now. We're going to continue now. We're going to come back to this. But just park this truth. The story is open-ended. Okay? And now here's the second filter that Jesus puts in. He's on mission. And he puts in he's filtering the crowd. He's not looking for Facebook likes. He's not looking to share posts. He's looking for disciples because he is making disciples of himself. Another of the disciples said to him, verse 21, another of the disciples said to him, so here Matthew is giving us a different insight. He says, this guy is a disciple, okay? And he's been journeying with Jesus. He's following Jesus as master, and he's a disciple. In other words, Jesus calls him a disciple already. He's seen something in him that is disciple worthy. But this disciple says to Jesus, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And we're like, obviously, yesterday I had my grandmother's funeral. Is Jesus saying funerals are not good? I shouldn't have been there? Yeah, then I'm quite mistaken. Something else going on here, isn't there? Like, we need to take a moment and read this again. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. In Jewish tradition, if your father died today, within 24 hours, you'd bury him. You wouldn't be standing talking to somebody. His father's not dead. If his father was very ill, he also wouldn't be there. He'd be taking care of his father. What's he saying to Jesus? Saying to Jesus, I've been following you for a while now. I'm one of the disciples. I see what's going on here. It's great. But you know what? I'm not all in on this thing. I'm not all in because let me first go back to my house. My dad's probably got another 5 years on him. Maybe. I don't know. It could be less. But then if I'm there, then I'll inherit. And then I can come and then I can do your thing. Let me just do my thing first. That's the word first. That's why it's put there. This disciple was saying, let me first do this. Jesus did what? He gave a command. It wasn't an invitation. It was a command. The king said, we're going. I can't do. In that context of the command, this guy comes and says, let me first do this. That's going to be awkward for my inheritance plan if I go across this lake now. So I saw my brother came in as well. Right? So he's saying, my priorities are not your priorities here. And that's why Jesus responds in this way. Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. He's saying, the world's going to keep spinning. The spiritually dead are going to keep doing what the spiritually dead do. That's not our main concern. This guy just heard the Sermon on the Mount, okay? Remember, we're like a chapter after the Sermon on the Mount. This guy listened to Jesus say, first, seek first. Seek first what? The kingdom and his righteousness. This is what he had just heard Jesus unpack. And he's like, I'm going to first go and make sure I inherit. And Jesus said, no, you didn't listen to the sermon. And once again, we get to this open-ended outcome, isn't it? Both stories leave us hanging in the, why? What's going on here? Why is he leaving us hanging? Why isn't there a conclusion to the story? Matthew's intention here is so that we would see ourselves in this story. We would see ourselves in this narrative. We would see that there are things in our heart. There are things in our heart that are maybe doing the same thing to when Jesus gives a command. You know, we come and we come to Jesus and say, you know what? I see what you're doing, but I've got a good idea here. I've got a better idea. Let me do this. Let's do it my way. I've got value add to make here. Why does Jesus say these things to these two guys? Why is he just going, I didn't like the way that guy looks, so I'm going to make something like just to knock him out of the discipleship program. I want to offend him out of here. Didn't like the way his beard. It's not going to look good when they do that stained glass stuff if they have this picture of this guy later. Jesus came for whosoever, right? Even these two guys. Even if we in this moment recognize this in our lives. What is he saying to them? He's helping them. He's saying, listen, the journey we're on, if this is your motivation, if you think that this gifting that you think you have is going to qualify you for things, it is very likely that you're going to be sorely disappointed on this journey. Because the house may never come in this life. And if you join this mission I'm on with this perception that we're going to make kingdom now, and we're going to take that hill because you're so gifted, it is likely that you will be so heartbroken when that doesn't happen because, you know what, I'm on a mission and I'm going to die. I'm going to lay my head down in a borrowed tomb. And I want you to deal with that before you follow me further. That's his heart here. And his heart here for this disciple is he's saying, if you have this one foot and the other foot in the world, it's very likely that in this journey where I'm calling people to come and die to live, that you will have the same disappointment. I want to save you from that. I don't want that to be your experience. I'm inviting you to face this in your heart, to turn from it, to say, and because that's his invitation. He still says to him, he doesn't say, well, if that's the case, I told you I preached that sermon and you're now not going there. He says, no, hold on. Follow me. Turn from that. If you see that in your life, turn from it. Follow me. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. Oh, I was supposed to have a bookmark here. I know I have the scripture there. Corinthians, Paul touches on this theme. Touches on this theme and he says in 1 Corinthians 1, isn't it beautiful that we actually see the open-ended story of this fulfilled in Paul's life in closure? Paul is like a Pharisee, scripture, scribe, teacher. And he writes to the Philippian church, he says, all those things that I thought were gain, I count as rubbish, as dreck. I count it as loss. All those things so that I may know him. Right? That I may know him. And so Paul understood that it wasn't his learning that qualified him to be a teacher. It was Jesus calling him. He qualifies the called. Jesus called him, preached the gospel to him. Right? It wasn't Paul's Pharisee training that qualified him. His knowledge of the scriptures. Those things were all redeemed in that process. And Paul goes out of his way to make that clear throughout his life. It's fascinating. Paul chooses to remain a guy that makes tents. Yeah? Even when he's got these successful ministries. It's a beautiful challenge that we have today. Anyway, side note. 1 Corinthians. For consider your calling, brothers. And here's the encouragement. Not many of you are wise. Okay, so there were some of them that were maybe a little wise, eh? Okay, so at least we know some of them, they may have had the same heart condition that Jesus was talking about here, and they turned. It says, not many of you were wise, according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. That is quite important. Jesus will not share his glory in that sense. He is the Son of Man, right? He is the one who carries the cross. And here is what he's saying. No one will boast in the presence of God that, teacher, greatness acknowledges greatness. You needed me to make that happen. No one will boast in the presence of God. And because of him, Jesus, you are of God. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's the whole package. Like John 3:16 says, whoever believes into him is what it means. In other words, leaves it all behind. Leaves it behind. Whatever it is I think I bring, I leave it behind. Lord, you decide. I bring nothing. You are the one who is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so that it is written, that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. It's that word earlier that Esther brought. Why? So that we can all say, his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And Jesus is taking on us on a discipleship journey to make us more like him. And that coming into him means a letting go of us. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Right? And so we're in this moment where we see Jesus doing this filtering, doing this upside down kingdom building, not reading the right books, but displaying his mission. We have this open-ended story in our hearts. We can be, maybe we are a little bit like that scribe today. We came to Jesus and we're like, Jesus, I've got this thing. I can do this in your kingdom. I'm bringing this. Or we're like that disciple. We've journeyed a bit with Jesus and yet that thing now is starting to question, but maybe I just need to make sure of something else here. Maybe I just need to put some other things in place. Maybe I just need to trust Jesus, but also trust my bank account. Right? And he's saying to us, hold on. I'm looking for commitment in discipleship. Why? Because he committed from the throne room. He committed all the way. He emptied himself from there all the way to the cross on our behalf. Jesus was not half committed, sort of committed, maybe committed, thinking about it, maybe one nail, not two, I don't know, all the way to death on a cross. That's his level of commitment to us. That's why he's the one who gets all glory and honor and praise. Holy, holy, holy. He's the one who opens the scroll in Revelation. And he calls us towards more and more commitment. It's not saying everyone else got this right. When they heard this, they were like, oh, sure, it's a scribe and that guy. We always knew he wasn't going to make it. No, in this moment, they all go, ooh, maybe I'm a bit like that as well. Am I going to go across the sea? Why is it important? We know what happens on the sea. It's coming next week. It's not plain sailing, people. Jesus knew it. That's why he went to sleep. I don't want to preempt. But here's the thing. Jesus knows what he's doing. And he's looking for commitment because in that trouble, if you are going, well, I kind of signed up for this because I was like looking for a teaching post and we were going to build kingdom now and now we're like sinking. It's like I should have stayed with my dad. Right? Because now, what have I inherited now? Yo, hier was die mekaar. But I want to close it on this. I want to close it on this. That in this, Jesus is communicating to us. This may be a part of our story. But the invitation remains to each one of us. Will you turn from that? If this is something that is happening in your life, will you turn from that and just simply come and follow me, yoke with me, learn from me, come and walk with me? I will be your rest, is what he's saying to us. And will you, like me, make that commitment? Will we return to the heart of worship where it's all about him? It's not about us. It's not about when the lights are on or where the lights are off, whether the smoke comes or the smoke doesn't come, whether we get the goosebumps or not. It's about whether his name is proclaimed over our lives, because he will receive the glory forever and ever. Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's close our eyes. Lord, we want to respond to your word. Lord Jesus, you have always been looking for disciples, not followers, not likes, not shares on a Facebook page. You want those who come to you that yoke with you, that learn from you, that take your heart into themselves. You have come not to make followers, but to adopt sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your spirit is the spirit of adoption. And that in these things where we see our insecurity, where we see our performance, where we think our performance makes us special, Lord, that we would know you love us all the same. That there is no function that qualifies us for more love. There is no service that qualifies us for more love. We are here to hear you say, go across to the other side. And we want to be those that we have hearts that we minister and say, trust in him. All power and steadfast love belongs to the Lord. Let us follow him, because in that we will be transformed. We do not need the acknowledgement of man, the titles of man, or the inheritance of man. We have an inheritance. Holy Spirit, we thank you that in this moment, you are touching hearts, you are touching lives, you are speaking to us, and you are showing us that it is worth it. that the kingdom not yet is worth it. That you are our guarantee, living within us, our guarantee of the inheritance that we had no right to even think about, that has been granted to us in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for hearts that maybe see this in their lives, Lord, that they would have faith. Would you grant faith to us to turn from that and put our trust in you again? Because you are on mission in this world. You are saving. And you are calling us to partner with that the way you do it, what it looks like. A denial of self, a taking up of a cross, but above all, following you, Jesus. It's Lord, and there where we need healing in these areas of our hearts, Lord, as we come boldly before you to receive that, Lord, I pray for us to turn from these things. I want to give you a moment where something has been just like it's identified in your heart. You've gone, ooh, I see that thing. I've done that thing. You know what? It's like Hans preached the other day. This day is what matters, and that day. Don't be dwelling on yesterday. This day, right now, Jesus is here to heal your heart from that self-promotion and that half-hearted commitment. Because it is all from him and for him and through him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you resurrect the dead. It's in your nature. So I want to pray, Lord, there where even where physical bodies now are suffering, Lord, I pray for healing by the power of your name, Lord Jesus, to the glory of your name in this place. Lord, we thank you that you are here to heal, to point to that which is to come, to that which is truly our inheritance, eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for sanctification. Thank you that it is all because you became that for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can receive that. That we can receive that by faith. We put our trust in you. We receive that by faith. Amen. 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 I want to do different this morning. You see this communion on your chairs. We're not going to take communion. You're going to take communion home. And where you are concerned about these things, go speak to the Lord himself. I don't want you to take communion now. I don't want you to take communion. Communion for us is a very precious and significant thing. And when, look, we give meaning to these things. You can only buy your air communion. You have your cookie and sappy to dinner. This is to make it easy. But take this one home as just a reminder for yourself that go and listen to Jesus' voice. Let him speak to you. Where have you been guilty of this maybe? Before you take communion, to repent of that. To turn to him again. To say, Lord, I boast alone in the cross of Christ. I boast alone in what you have lived, what you have died in my place for, and you have been raised to life. I boast in this alone, that you would take communion in that heart. And when you drink the cup, you'd say, Lord, because you are the one who died and was raised to life, I am free to walk in your commandment. Jesus gave us a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Say, Lord, show me what this looks like. Lead me, disciple me in this, disciple me in love. Let me walk this for my neighborhood. Amen. Good. Good. I'm going to pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom. Amen.